The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
A very March Madness podcast for you right now on Monday. And I'm not talking about college basketball. I'm talking about Lamar Jackson requesting a trade. This just happened, and Jamie's actually in Phoenix right now at the owner's meeting, so he's trying to talk. The coaches are out there too. He says he's trying to talk to Jim Harbaugh, and it's not working, or John Harbaugh, whichever one it is. It's not working, and of course, Dave told him, ask him about Isaiah Likely. So that's our group text right now. Anyway, welcome to the show. It is Monday, it's 11 o'clock, and we're reacting to the big news. I'm Adam Azer with Heath Cummings.
Morning.
And Dan.
Monday morning is what this is.
I'm rusty, man. I was really sick last week. I'm very sorry. I'm completely wrapped up in
you get a lot of little sicknesses.
The Miami Hurricanes, and then now Lamar Jackson is rocking our world. So we'll talk about that. Also, Heath gets to react to all the stuff he missed from last week. So that would be Devin Singletary and Damian Harris and Elijah Moore. And I have got three earth-shattering, pot-stirring fantasy statements I'm going to make, and I want to get your reaction. You heard Dan Schneier as well. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Adam. Good to see you here. Good to see you all cheery today with Miami making this Final Four run. It was pretty impressive, so I was rooting for you guys.
Thank you. I appreciate it. South Florida basketball, represent. Heath's got some FAU ties. He lives in Boca. I know you're excited for Saturday to watch some South Florida hoops. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was, seriously, for the weekend, probably the greatest free throw shooting performance I've ever seen from a team. 16 of 19 on wow. Friday, and they made like 35 in the second half yesterday to advance. That was the Canes can make their free throws.
Yes. Yes, they can. It was pretty crazy. That won them the game. All right, let's
was
talk.
Was that a little – was that like a little – were you doing something there, Heath?
I think so.
Trying to say, like, Miami got a lot of calls. And
no,
they
tweeting about it last night. Like, if you look, the way we evaluate shooters in the NBA, if you're a 50-40-90 guy, 50% field goal, 40% three, 90% from the free throw line, you are an elite shooter in the NBA. For the weekend, Miami went 55-39-86. Like,
wow.
It was one of the best shooting weekends from a college basketball team, especially when you consider that Houston had arguably the best defense in the country.
Yeah.
Right.
Look at Heath.
Crazy.
Look at Heath. I love it. Heath,
he's
big
a college basketball savant.
He's a hoops fan.
Screw KenPom. We got Heath.
Oh, KenPom. KenPom has Miami at 23 right now. KenPom hates Miami. All right, yeah. Anyway.
KenPom hated Miami.
Let's get into fantasy football here, guys. So Lamar Jackson has requested a trade. Heath, if you have Lamar Jackson on a dynasty roster right now, how are you feeling about this?
I very, very nervous because I don't really find it likely that the Ravens are going to agree to his demand. This feels a little bit like the Michael Scott, I declare bankruptcy. I don't think Lamar Jackson's going to have his request honored. And so we're going to get into August or September, and it's going to become is he playing?
I declare bankruptcy. That is so funny. Also funnier than anything that's happened on Parks and Rec, and Dan thinks Parks
Not
and Rec's
all.
Better than The Office.
Considerably better show.
Same.
No, I've tried. Yeah, I you know, I've watched season one three times. I never made it past season one, but
you have to go past season one. That's the Mark Brandanowitz season. You have to start in season two. Everyone knows that with Parks.
Dan, same question to you. You have Lamar Jackson on a dynasty team. How are you reacting to this news?
I think I'm with Heath. This is not good news. The Ravens have no interest in honoring this trade. He comes out and he says, I want to get traded, but that doesn't really move the needle at all for Baltimore. I don't see how that impacts their side of it. So we're going to see what Heath said, I think. We're going to see this drag into August. But then that's kind of the time where I might be interested in buying on Lamar Jackson in Dynasty, because his value, I think, will drop, but it won't really be related to anything other than Baltimore not honoring his request, the trade going nowhere, because eventually he has to play the season. I don't see him sitting out the season like Le'Veon Bell did or anything like that.
So Lamar Jackson was removing.
You think he might, Heath?
Oh,
I don't know that he's going to. I mean, first off, I don't think that the situation's that great for him right now. They won't. Mm-hmm. They will not add a wide receiver. They just don't care.
Yeah,
Nelson Aguilar.
Exactly. Thank you for making my point. Willie Snead, DeSean Jackson, DeMarcus Robinson.
But Rashad Bateman, Marquise Brown, like they have invested in wide receiver. They have.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was, I mean, when he had Marquise Brown, he was really good. When he had Rashad
And I wouldn't
Bateman,
call that
sure
much of an
really
investment.
Good.
Like looking around the league, can you think of a team that's invested less than that at the wide receiver position, really?
New York Football Giants.
Besides the Giants.
Well,
Giants
no,
are
they
a great
tried.
Example.
I mean, they tried with Galladay and they drafted
And they did try
Tony.
A little bit. They tried with Tony, Galladay, Wandell in round two. So there's not many of those mid round picks for the Ravens to really kind of reboost that wide receiver core.
I don't know if I still have these stats, but no team has gotten less production from wide receivers over the last, I think, 4 years than the Baltimore Ravens. That's, you know, a lot of things go into that. They don't throw the ball that much.
Right.
But, yeah, they obviously, I don't know. What I was going to say was that he was the number five quarterback per game if you take out week 13 when he barely played. Those kill his averages, but... He was the number five quarterback in both 4-point and 6-point per passing touchdown leagues. It has been the last 2 years kind of inconsistent production, some huge weeks, and then a number of weeks where people, fantasy managers, are frustrated with Lamar Jackson. But Dan, I think you had some reservations about him to begin with, just with a new system. And this doesn't help. If you're trying to learn a new system, this is not a good thing.
Exactly. That's a big concern for this immediate fantasy season. For Dynasty, I feel like there might be a little bit of a buy low-ish window, but redraft is not. I'm not going to be drafting much of Lamar Jackson this year anyway because of what you just mentioned. I don't like his weapons. I don't like the new system. It could help him, but I'm not sold on that. And now you add in potential missed time during training camp when you're trying to learn that system and get on the same page as your receivers. It's not a good recipe.
At the same time, there's a lot of teams who came out immediately and said, we're not interested in talking to Lamar Jackson. They could have just been lying. Teams do that all the time. They should have been lying if they're trying to win football games. And so maybe he will get traded, and maybe things will look a lot better. He's number six for me in both redraft and dynasty right now. If this causes him to fall and he's falling into that QB 8 to 10 range, then I'm going to draft a ton of him because nobody you're going to get there has his upside.
I have a question for you then, Heath. Where do you view if the trade happens and it's to Washington? Or yeah, that's where I was almost going to call them their former team name. So the Commanders, I always mess that one up. So if it's to the Commanders, where do you put him after that for redraft? Because if they can get that team sold within the net, if that timeline moves up and I'm hearing it's starting to move up and heat up, that's when I think it's possible to make a move for Lamar Jackson because you have to give him that massive contract. Where does he move then for you?
Probably four. I don't think he's going to go ahead and Hurts, Mahomes, or Allen. But I there's nobody, if everything's okay for Lamar Jackson, there's nobody else that I would want to rank ahead of him.
I think at that point, he has the best receiver core by far. He's out of his career, correct? Easily,
oh, yeah.
Right?
By far. Yeah.
Where did you say, Dan?
Washington. The Commanders.
Yeah.
Atlanta's another one that would be fantastic.
Okay, guys.
That'd be great.
All right, listen, I don't know that there's much else to talk about here. We'll keep reacting as we get more news. We'll see what happens. But Lamar Jackson has requested a trade. And
I just know if I had Mark Andrews in Dynasty, I would probably be looking to sell just a little bit low on him, especially if I was a rebuilding team and I only had two good players and they were both tight ends.
Have Justin. That team also has Justin Fields. I don't know if he's considered a good player in Dynasty anymore to most people, but to me, I would consider him potentially a good
Definitely
player.
Definitely a good player. I apologize.
I guess we could talk about that.
Might even
that,
consider
though.
DJ Moore a good player. I don't know.
I mean, would you rather Mark Andrews have Lamar Jackson? We know what the two of them can do together, or a more conventional quarterback that's going to throw the ball more?
For
Mark Andrews, would you rather the Ravens keep Lamar Jackson or move on for Mark Andrews' fantasy's sake?
It's Lamar for sure for me. They have developed a rapport. Their timing is great. And they have past production, so we know it's already there with them. Anything else is just a guessing game.
And your mystery box quarterback here, like 90% of good quarterbacks have been ruled out. So it's like the chances you were getting someone who even throws as well as Lamar Jackson without the rushing are not that great.
Well, you could trade Lamar Jackson for one of the first picks in the draft to a quarterback needy team and then, you know, get in that rookie pool. Could do that.
I would much rather have Lamar Jackson than any quarterback in this draft for Mark Andrews.
Okay.
Completely agree.
All right. Well, I'd much rather win an award. You know what? Would I rather the Hurricanes win the national championship or would I rather us win the sports podcast awards?
I want us to win the award, but we've won awards before.
We have. But I was trying to do some clever read for this, and I don't have anything. So anyway, vote for us for the 2023 Podcast Awards in the fantasy and sports betting category. We have a link in the episode description. We have a link on YouTube. I'm looking at a link right now. If you're watching, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. Go ahead and click that. I mean, you can't click it on the screen. You have to click it in the chat. And anyway, I think, Schaefer, you might have to put it in a separate... I don't know. That link, I don't know if it's clickable. Anyway, we'll work on that. But please click the link wherever you see it and vote for us in the fantasy and sports betting category. Fantasy and sports betting. And we'd appreciate it. It takes about a minute, if that, to sign up and make the account. And yeah, make it happen. Thank you so much. Also, voting ends April 6th, by the way. So we're getting a little, we're running out of time. We've got a Fantasy Football Today Dynasty podcast, Heath? What is
this? I think it should be called Dynasty Fantasy Football Today, but I don't know for sure. But yes, we do have a Fantasy Football Dynasty podcast. I am so, so, so excited. I don't have to ask Adam to talk about Dynasty anymore. I get to talk about Dynasty without him, which is going to will be with Dan for sure coming up soon. We are launching it tomorrow. Dave Richard will be there. Mystery guest will be there. And we're going to have a lot of fun.
That is so cool. All right. So it's fantasy. Right now it's called FFT Dynasty.
Yeah.
It's hosted by Heath and begins tomorrow. And make sure you check it out. And I cannot wait for that. That's great.
And for those who don't know, one more shameless plug pitch. During the offseason, Heath has a Dynasty Central, which you can find on cbssports.com/fantasy. Or if you type that into Google, you'll find it just by searching those words. And you can find everything we do on Dynasty on the site, which includes, which is why I'm doing the shameless plug now, some draft profiles, which myself and Dave Richard are working on tirelessly until the draft. So basically any fantasy relevant player in your first 1 through 4 rounds of that draft, we're hoping to hit. So we're going to have a profile, strengths, weaknesses from... We try to watch about 6 games of film on these players. Also fantasy football fits, dynasty outlook, things like that, 40 time metrics, combine metrics. So check it out on the site.
Also, we will be talking about all those players in the month of April with Dan, with Dave, with special guests, breaking down all the prospects leading up to the draft.
Very cool. All right, let's get Heath's reactions to last week's news items. So first one, Devin Singletary to Houston. Go, Heath.
Bad news for Dameon Pierce. Not crushing news for Dameon Pierce, but I don't think he's going to have a 70% rush share on the Texans anymore. Obviously, this coaching staff comes from San Francisco, where before Christian McCaffrey, there was a lot of mixing and matching at the running back position. I would expect there will be more mixing and matching than there was in Houston last year. We talked last week about Dameon Pierce being a top 10, top 12, top 15 running back in redraft. I think he's closer to RB20 now, and that will be dependent on how off-season rehab goes for some of these guys that are coming off of injuries and what happens with landing spots in the draft. But low-end RB2 for Dameon Pierce now. Singletary for me is really not much more than a handcuff.
Okay, in the draft that we did a week ago, Dameon Pierce went to Dave 49th overall, first pick of round 5, and he went one pick after David Montgomery. So the running backs he went after, Najee Harris, who made it pretty late, mid-round 4. Then Dalvin Cook, David Montgomery, and then into round 5, Dameon Pierce, just ahead of Miles Sanders. So I guess those are all pretty relevant. Montgomery, Pierce, Miles Sanders, that's how it went. What do you guys think about that order?
I would
take Pierce.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Steve. I was saying Pierce would be dead last on that list for me of those three.
I don't know who Steve is, but
yeah, I think Miles called
Sanders easily.
They didn't call him Steve.
Miles Sanders easily at the top of the list. He might be a top 12 running back for me if nothing else changes by the time we get to September.
Wow.
And then Pierce just slightly ahead of David Montgomery. Both of them right there with Najee Harris. So I agree with that.
Okay.
All right. I never called you Steve. I never called you Keith. Sometimes when you're talking fast on a podcast and words are blurring together, you can try to, you know, you're trying to cut it off a word here, a word there, and things sound different. But I think I like to think I know your name. And then one day I'll be on a podcast and someone will tell me your name's not actually Heath. And then you're going to do a whole thing about that. And it still hasn't been confirmed by you. So that remains a rumor that I don't know to be true or untrue.
We're good, Kim.
Okay. Devin Singletary, by the way, went in round 9. He went just ahead of Damian Harris. So let's go to our next news item. Heath, Damian Harris to the Bills.
Yeah, I think this is probably a bigger deal than Devin Singletary to the Texans. Like this goes with a report that we got, not a report, a quote we got from Sean McDermott over the weekend that he would like for Josh Allen to start taking fewer hits, which we thought might happen last year, and then Josh Allen averaged more rush attempts per game than he ever had in his career last year. I would say we should expect some regression from Allen, particularly in the red zone. That's where he takes a lot of those hits. I would say this limits the upside of James Cook, who I would still strongly prefer over Damian Harris, but Cook is behind that Montgomery, Damian Pierce range for sure, closer to RB30 as a high-end flex. Damian Harris, slightly ahead of Devin Singletary as a kind of a backup, and yeah, that's it.
I listened to most of Thursday's podcast, which was Dave, Jamie, and Jake, our intern. I did not hear all of it. So, Thomas, you can let me know if I'm repeating information here, but look at the guys who went round 7 or later at running back. This really jumped out to me. I don't know if this is going to happen, you know, but as of right now, round 7 running backs were Alvin Kamara, DeAndre Swift, Jamal Williams. I don't know that I would have done that, but Khalil Herbert, James Cook, and Brian Robinson. Kamara, Swift, Jamal Williams, Khalil Herbert, James Cook, and Brian Robinson. Many of them affected by free agency or some change teams. Rashad Penny was the first pick of round 8. James Conner, who was an every down back for the second half of the season and a must-start guy for Arizona, and he's still there. He was next in round 8. I basically was very impressed by the running backs available in round 7 and 8. And also we had Samaje Perine and Jeff Wilson go in round 8. And that was just before Devin Singletary and Damian Harris. That's not super exciting, those guys. But I thought the running backs in round 7 and 8, Kamara, Swift, Jamal Williams, Khalil Herbert, James Cook, Brian Robinson, Rashad Penny, James Conner, Samaje Perine, Jeff Wilson. Dan, to me as a group, I think really exciting given where you're getting them in the draft.
Yeah, it's deep into the draft. That's basically that's the range when I like to start taking my swings at running back again. If I'm building my team out the way I want to, I have one big running back, the hero running back, and then I'm taking a lot of swings in that range, and that feels like a good group where I can get upside too. I like the upside with several players you named there. I mean, Swift is still a very talented back. Herbert is still a very talented back. I know the situations are a bit murkier. I feel very good about James Cook. I agree with Heath if we're going to lose more of that red zone role. But even before Harris got there, we lost a lot of the red zone possibilities with Josh Allen just running in that range anyway. I feel like James Cook still has value. So there are definitely a lot of names I like there. And obviously Rashad Penny, I mean, look, that could be the biggest upside of all those players if he stays healthy.
Such an interesting group and a wide, wide range of opinions that I have on these guys. Some of them I don't really want to take in round 7 or 8, and some of whom I think should probably go in round 4 or 5. So I think Swift is an excellent value there. Obviously, if Kamara plays, he's going to be. But if Kamara plays, then Jamal Williams probably shouldn't be taken that early.
Right.
So that's kind of a mixed bag. I'm pretty close to out on Khalil Herbert, I think, unless it's round 7 or 8, just because I think we may be underrating Deontay Foreman.
Yeah, maybe.
Who are the guys that you would like to take round 4 or 5 there, Heath?
Swift, for sure.
No, I'm not too. I think Cook's probably five or six. You said, like, I've got Samaje Perine right in that range.
Well, Kamara, Swift, you said.
Kamara's
tough with the suspension.
You can't even talk about him hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on here. Last thing to react to was Elijah Moore being traded to Cleveland.
Yeah, good for him. I'm glad he got away from the people who don't think he's very good. But I don't, again, this is another situation where Cleveland's passing game, like, I don't think they're going to stop throwing it to Njoku as much as they have. I don't really believe they're going to turn into a 600 pass attempt team. And I don't think Elijah Moore is as good as Amari Cooper. Elijah Moore is a double digit round dart throw for me, kind of where Donovan Peoples-Jones was a week ago.
The last six games of the season for Elijah Moore in his rookie year, 2021, he had 34 catches, 459 yards, and five touchdowns. He was on pace in those six games for 96 catches, 1,300 yards, and 14 touchdowns on 144 targets. He did that against, among other teams, Buffalo, Philadelphia, and Miami. Those three were all top 10 against wide receivers that year. Two of them were top three against wide receivers. Every team he played was, except for Cincinnati, they weren't good against receivers. Every single team he played was a solid opponent, you know. So we got so excited because he faced tough competition in his last six games as a rookie, and he absolutely crushed it. And he did it with not so much Zach Wilson. He did it with like Mike White, I think, Joe Flacco. But still, there was a lot to be excited about. You know, I think a lot of people, oh, yeah, he was good his rookie year. No, his last six games, he was incredible. So,
but also, he, like, it was not a good rookie year.
No.
Like, I think you can say he was good his rookie year and mean that he was great for 6 weeks and really looked like he needed Corey Davis to not be healthy to be the team's number one wide receiver.
Yeah, but he still showed that. And you know what? You know who else showed that in a six-game stretch as a rookie? Amon-Ra St. Brown. So I don't want to just completely dismiss it.
Right.
Yeah, Moore never really got the chance to follow up on it. That is why people were excited about him going into year two. All right, that was discussed at length on Thursday's show, so we will leave it at that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got some pretty boring news and notes like Marquez Callaway and DJ Chark and
Jameson
Crowder. And then we're going to get into it. We're going to stir the pot with some fun stuff. I'm going to read your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Dan Schneier is here, and Steve Cummings is here. And do you guys have any final four teams left in any brackets?
I have one bracket where UConn's winning it all in that bracket. So if UConn wins, I've done the scenario generator. I only finish in third place, which is a little disappointing, but I'll take it. It's a bigger pool. And then I have something called Calcutta. Have you heard of Calcutta, Adam?
No, I've heard of
or Heath.
I've heard of place. Calcutta, but not if it goes for the NCAA tournament. For golf tournaments, I've heard of it. So tell me.
Yeah, sure. So it's a cool setup. I'll tell it real quick. You have 64 teams. You can bid on any of them, and you bid real money, and then the prize pool is you get a percentage of the total pot, whatever it is. There's no budget. There's no cap for each win you have. One of the teams that we, our group, chose was San Diego State, the Aztecs. We had a few others that lost, Texas included. But now we're riding Aztecs, and we're right now we've made our money back at this point. So we're at almost break even for what we invested. So every other win becomes a huge profit for us. So Aztecs, rooting for the Aztecs.
Well, everyone can root for Miami because I did take Miami in a charity bracket. And I am almost positive that if Miami wins, I will win the charity bracket. And Heath told me there's a pretty big prize there. So
I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, I don't know. If it's not true, then we'll just say Steve said it. All right, let's go through some news items here. Sean Payton said that the Broncos are not trading Cortland Sutton or Jerry Jeudy. Meanwhile, Russell Wilson had arthroscopic knee surgery during the offseason, so that's not a big deal, I don't think. But the fact that he said that, yeah, people, I get it, I read it, I hear all the stories, we're getting calls, we're not trading Cortland Sutton or Jerry Jeudy. Heath, do you buy that?
No. Not entirely. I don't necessarily buy that they're definitely going to trade one of them either, but this is not enough to make me think they're absolutely going to be on the team. It's a really messy situation. With what we've seen from Russell Wilson in his career and what we saw last year from Sean Payton coming in and just kind of starting over. And then you've got Tim Patrick coming back from injury, who apparently everyone in Denver loves, at least the people who speak without putting their name on it. So I don't know what to, I'm not excited about any of these guys really.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Sean McDermott wants Josh Allen to take fewer hits in 2023, as Heath mentioned earlier. Is that going to affect anyone's fantasy ranking of Josh Allen?
Not mine.
No.
I mean, look. Yeah, go ahead.
I do think his rushing production is a lot more important to his fantasy production than maybe people let on. I just don't really believe that Sean McDermott's going to be able to get inside Josh Allen's brain and change what he does.
Yeah. Me either.
I feel the same way. I feel like if you look at his touchdowns, there are a few, especially going back to when Brian Daboll was running that offense, there definitely are a few plays where you see quarterback power and design runs in the red zone, but a lot of what he did in the red zone was on undesigned plays on scrambles, and that's what Heath's referencing, and I'm with Heath on that. I don't think that's going to change. If he sees it, he's going to take it.
Kirk Cousins offered to take less than Daniel Jones, according to the Minnesota Star Tribune, and yet they could not work out a contract extension. So we're going to talk about that in a little bit when I stir the pot with a spicy dynasty take, which is not spicy at all and just common sense. The Eagles signed right tackle Lane Johnson to a one-year deal, an extension worth over $30 million. So he'll be playing another year for the Eagles. The Jets re-sign running back Ty Johnson. Ezekiel Elliott, according to Adam Schefter, Zeke has narrowed his choices down to the Jets, the Bengals, and the Eagles. Ooh.
Thanks, I hate it.
I don't want him to go to the Jets.
No.
The Eagles would be fine, because then I could just not draft any Eagles and be like, oh, it's fine, you know?
I think it's going to be the Bengals, and that would be an interesting one, too, I think.
Well, yeah, it is. Like, if they just... I can't imagine they think that they'd rather have Ezekiel Elliott than Joe Mixon right now.
Than Joe Mixon?
Not
or said,
at the
wait,
same
say that
price.
Again?
No.
Well, but we've talked about how like they've already got dead money in Joe Mixon.
I think they could just sign Zeke so cheap at this point that he's basically just like the Pirine replacement.
Maybe. Yeah.
They don't do the same thing. I know he's not much of a passing game option anymore, Zeke, but just like a cheap Bengals type move. I don't know. It's just I've seen them make these types of moves in the past. Take a veteran for cheap.
Let's see. The Broncos signed running back Tony Jones, used to play for Sean Payton with the Saints. The Raiders signed Austin Hooper to a one-year deal. Anyone care?
Not really.
He's a top 24 tight end.
So I think I am too.
No?
No? Okay. And then here are these boring wide receiver signings. The Giants need more slot receivers, apparently. They signed Jamison Crowder. The Panthers signed DJ Chark. The Broncos signed Marquez Callaway. The Ravens signed Nelson Agholor. And the Browns signed Marquise Goodwin. None of these matter, right? For fantasy?
No.
Crowder has a chance to matter. He probably won't, but he has a chance to matter. If Richie James could become fantasy relevant on that in that style of offense, I think there are ways that that could break where Crowder does become fantasy relevant at some point.
Like, do these guys have a type or what?
Yeah, the Giants.
Can
yeah,
you give me a small slot wide receiver who is very likely to miss games with injury this year? I would like that guy on my team.
That's essentially correct.
There's no obviously there's no guaranteeing Jamison Crowder is going to be on the team.
They need to go draft a wide receiver.
Yeah,
they've got six guys that might play six games.
Mm. Yeah, other than the teams that we know need quarterbacks, the Giants drafting a wide receiver in the first round is going to be one of the more popular mock draft assignments. Everyone's going to mock them with a wide receiver.
And yet, I don't think it's going to happen.
I'm going to mock them if they don't take a
win. Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah, I think you're going to be mocking them regardless, Heath. But yes, you will be mocking them in that case as well.
All right, I'm going to stir the pot here and give you guys some statements and you can react to it. Didn't really know what to call this segment, so I'm not sure if I'm going to be stirring any pots. All right, first one. I don't know how much longer I have to give this disclaimer. This is not an endorsement of Deshaun Watson, the person. It's an endorsement of Deshaun Watson, the player. First stirring the pot comment, Deshaun Watson is the steal of fantasy drafts. Would you like to react or would you like me to explain?
Where is he being drafted?
Somewhere around QB 10. You know, I was looking at Fantasy Pros rankings right now. I know where he goes in our drafts, I'll tell you.
I think he goes even after that.
He went in round 10. He went just before Aaron Rodgers. He went after Dak Prescott. But he goes so much later than guys like Justin Herbert, who went in round 5.
Right.
Justin Fields, round 5. Lamar Jackson, round 6. Let's see. Trevor Lawrence, round 6. And then round 10. You know, there were probably some quarterbacks in between that. But round 10, Deshaun Watson, I think he's the steal of fantasy drafts.
I would prefer you explain first because I don't want to steal your thunder, Adam, because I know going into this August, me and you are going to have a lot of battles for this Browns offense because I'm completely in line with you on Deshaun and this entire offense. Well, the passing game at least. So I'll let you explain your side first.
I mean, it's really easy. I don't care about what happened last year. I think it understandably was bad after not playing for almost two seasons. And before that, he was QB6, and QB6 per game, three straight seasons on a run-heavy offense. Two of those years were with DeAndre Hopkins. One of those years was without DeAndre Hopkins, and he threw for almost 5,000 yards. He's going to run for about 500 yards. You know, he was on pace for that again last year. I just think he's being penalized for playing really poorly last season. I don't think that's Deshaun Watson. I think he's probably still just as good as he was in his prime, which is one of the best quarterbacks in football and one of the best quarterbacks in fantasy. The end.
Yeah, I think when you said he was what, QB6 or whatever?
In 6 point, yeah.
Those were seasons without Jalen Hurts and Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert. I think you have to account for at least a little bit of risk that he doesn't just bounce back to what he was now 3 years ago. So I don't think it would be prudent to rank him exactly or draft him exactly where he was finishing in the past. I don't have much reason to hope that he's going to be better than he was in Houston. You said it was a run-heavy offense in Houston, but there have been few play callers more run-heavy than Kevin Stefanski in the NFL. So I think if the upside's QB5 and the downside is the worst quarterback in the NFL, which is what we saw last year, I think that we should probably rank him somewhere around QB 10 or 12.
So my case for loving Deshaun Watson, and I think Heath is right when you look at it from the 30,000 foot view, there's so much more risk than we're probably signing Adam and getting
why?
So excited
why
about him.
Why is Heath right about that? I think Heath is dead because wrong about him, his downside being the worst quarterback in football. His downside is not what we saw last
fantasy.
Year. Like his downside is probably QB 12 because he's going to rush for 500 yards.
Floor, no, that's, His floor is higher. Lower. His floor is higher than what we saw from him last year.
100%. I believe that. I believe that wholeheartedly, yes.
But I think one thing that I'm focusing on here, which is why I'm very excited about him, is I think we will see a lot, and this is not going to be baked in the projections. It's going to be a little bit of guesswork, but I think we're going to see a completely different style of offense with the Browns moving forward. Despite what Kevin Stefanski's tendencies have been, despite what really he is at his core, everything I've read behind the scenes there is ever since new management took over, they were very analytics driven and analytics heavy. And they believe that to win in the NFL, you have to throw the football X amount of times every game, X amount of times over the course of a year. And I think we're finally, and we've seen that bear out in all the moves they made. This massive deal for Deshaun Watson, then trading for Eli Moore, re-signing David Njoku, trading for Amari Cooper. And we're going to continue to see that moving forward. And you saw it even on their defense where they didn't sign any interior defensive linemen last year and they're the worst run defense in the NFL. They don't really believe in running the football and stopping the run. It makes no sense right now because that's all we've seen them do under Stefanski. But I think we're going to see the change, and this is year to buy into it before it happens. Full offseason for Deshaun Watson to work with his – we were talking about Deshaun Jackson earlier. Full offseason for Watson to work with his receivers. Get on the same rapport with Eli Moore. He's already built a rapport with Cooper. He has the same weapons coming back outside of Moore. Offensive line, not what it used to be, but it's transitioning to a pass-first offensive line, I think. And I'm with you, Adam. I think where we're getting the value here is that there's going to be a lot more volume than there was last year and than there was in Houston as well. So that's where I see the upside there with Watson.
Yeah. Only thing I disagree with you, Dan, is they did sign Dalvin Tomlinson to stop the run.
Right. Yeah, they did this offseason sign Tomlinson. That's correct.
But I agree. I think they're going to be more pass-heavy. They actually, last year, they ran a lot more plays than they had in previous seasons. They ranked seventh in plays, and they still were fifth in rush attempts, but they were somewhere around 20th, I think, in pass attempts, which is fine. You just don't want them to be 28th.
Well, yeah. The question is, can you count on I believe it was a 62-play spike from the year before? Like, the year before, they were a slow offense in terms of the number of offensive plays they ran. The only reason they were 20th and not 28th in terms of pass attempts last year, not the only reason, but one of the major reasons, was that they ran 1116 plays, 53 more plays than anybody else. They still threw the ball on less than half of those offensive plays.
Right, but Dan and I think they will be more pass heavy.
That's the thing. It's all projection based. It's hard to, because if you're going to look back, and you can, because Stefanski is still there, you're not going to get good numbers for projections on Watson or this entire pass offense. I just think we could see a completely different outlook on how they approach offense at this point.
Yeah, I think that's possible. I do expect them to throw more. I have a hard time going from, I think the highest 17-game pace was last year for Stefanski at 540 pass attempts. Mm-hmm. And so I could maybe get to 560, 570. Maybe it's just a completely different offense, though.
Those are the things that I often miss. In Watson's last season in Houston, he led the NFL in passing yards, over 4,900 yards, I believe, around there. They were 31st in plays. No, they were 32nd. They ran the fewest plays in football. They were 23rd in pass attempts.
But they threw more passes. Deshaun Watson threw more passes in 16 games that season than any Kevin Stefanski offense has ever thrown in a season.
Oh, really?
544 pass attempts in that 16-game season last year. I believe the Browns threw 540 last year, and that was Stefanski's high.
To be fair on that, though, Stefanski hasn't had a quarterback with the caliber as a thrower of Watson at any point in his career as a coach,
right?
Really.
I think he throws more.
Do you think Deshaun Watson could be as good of a player with Cleveland as he was with Houston? If I had a concern about that, it would be that Amari Cooper's going to be 29 years old. I think Will Fuller was a terrific player. So the year he didn't have Watson, you had Fuller and Cooks. Does he have the weaponry, I guess, to be as good of a quarterback as he was with the Texans, now with the Browns in 2023?
I think so. I don't think Amari Cooper showed any signs of dropping off last year. I know he's 29, which is not entirely old, and I had Eli Moore as a top 20 overall prospect in the 2021 class. I know it's been rocky for him with the Jets, but I think it's mostly just bad quarterback play and not enough ball's going in his direction. If we're expecting to see a different style of offense in Cleveland, pass first, pass heavy, he could become a, I think he could become a big feature too. He's another player who I'm going to be drafting a lot of for sure.
So he had 27-year-old Brandon Cooks. I think that's a fair comparison to 29-year-old Amari Cooper.
But yeah, he also had Will Fuller.
Right.
Eli Moore. Big drop off there, you think, Adam? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, maybe Fuller's not that good, and Deshaun Watson is just what made him good. I don't know. But Will Fuller had a terrific
There might have been something else that helped Will Fuller.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to our next one. Stirring the pot number two. Probably a better way to say that. I got to be careful with when I say number two. The second stirring the pot.
Especially with me sitting here on the
podcast. Oh, yeah. Stirring the pot brought to you by Dan's Band Studio. Jamar Chase should so clearly be the number one pick in Dynasty drafts that it makes me absolutely sick when he isn't picked first. Oh, no. Heath left. Oh, no, Heath
we
is
lost
back.
Heath.
No.
We got him back.
Okay. I left.
He got so heated from your stirring the pot comment about Jamar Chase.
Well, I did just go to Heath's Dynasty page, and Heath has Justin Jefferson number one. But Jamar Chase in Dynasty should definitely be the number one overall pick because he is tied to Joe Burrow. I mean, he's going to be with Joe Burrow. You know, I can't guarantee that, but I think he'll be with Joe Burrow for a while. Whereas Kirk Cousins, it seems like there's a good chance this is his last year in Minnesota. Plus, like, he's Jamar Chase. He's younger than Justin Jefferson. He might be better than Justin Jefferson. This is a no-brainer, Heath.
I think the funny thing is your stirring the pot hot takes are actually better than your normal takes. now, what's wrong with this one is the idea that there should be no debate. I don't think when you have Justin Jefferson entering his age 24 season and what he has done the last couple of years that you can say he's not in the conversation to be the number one overall pick in Dynasty. That's absurd. To say that you prefer Jamar Chase over Justin Jefferson, I don't have any problem with that at all. I do a thing on my trade chart where I put the value of the players. And I always make the top player for the purposes of the trade chart worth 50 points. And then everything else is dependent upon that. I have Justin Jefferson worth 50 points. I have Jamar Chase worth 49.5. The third most valuable player in the trade chart is CeeDee Lamb, who is at 39.8.
Okay.
There might be two tiers between Jefferson and Chase and everybody else in terms of dynasty value. If you're in a startup, you should overpay to get one of those first two picks. Those are the clear top two guys. We saw in bits and pieces last year, Chase show the ability to earn targets like Jefferson does. But a lot of that happened during these mystery T. Higgins games that don't get counted in the Azer stats.
And no, they absolutely get counted. I'm all about those.
So you count them for Jamar Chase, but you don't count them against T. Higgins.
I count them in both respects. I count them against Jamar Chase.
Okay.
T. Higgins, let's see. In those three games where T. Higgins mysteriously left, Jamar Chase had 16 targets, 12 targets, and 15 targets. In his other eight games, he had 80 targets. So only 10 targets per game because Jamar Chase missed some time. He played 11 games. So he played eight games without T. Higgins leaving early, like very early, and he averaged 10 targets a game. Still pretty good.
The other problem I have, and Dan kind of made a veiled reference to the cheap Bengals. They've got a great, great setup right now. I kind of find it hard to believe that we're not going to have some drama in either the Joe Burrow negotiations or the Jamar Chase negotiations. I'm not as confident that you are that these two are going to live happily ever after in Cincinnati.
I think things have changed a bit. The Bengals have that reputation, and it's fair. They let a lot of their great offensive linemen walk throughout the years, Kevin Zeitler, Andrew Whitworth, other players. But things have changed a bit on that front, I think, as the owner's getting a little bit older, and he realizes he's now in that window with Burrow. They spent a good amount in free agency the past couple off seasons, especially this offseason, the last one, to really rebuild big pieces on that offensive line. So I think that's going to change a little bit, Heath, as far as now that they have Burrow. To counter this argument, I would say this, Adam. In Dynasty, I was big on what you were doing for a while in my previous leagues. I was trying to get the receivers who were tied to the quarterbacks who I think are going to be great players for fantasy. In past dynasty leagues, I drafted Tyreek Hill. I drafted Davante Adams with a lot of my budget in salary cap auctions. And then right away, almost within a year or two, they were traded to different teams. And yet they still remained incredible fantasy options, both Hill and Davante Adams last year. So I think you can really bet on the talent more so than the what quarterback they're playing with. And so if you really feel like Justin Jefferson, based on his profile, has more upside as a receiver and a fantasy option, I still think it's fair to rank him above Chase, despite him having the uncertain quarterback situation, because the talent will win out. And I know, look, Tua was playing pretty well, and Carr, I guess, was playing pretty well, but those guys aren't crazy good quarterbacks. So if Justin Jefferson has to have a new quarterback at some point, I'm not so sure it's going to kill his fantasy value.
No, it's certainly not going to kill his fantasy value. A couple things to finish this topic out. First of all, Heath, don't ever question the integrity of the Azer stats. They are non-biased stats, okay? And number two...
No, I just want to see them in a listed out in a form.
Okay. I agree.
I think the whole team, yeah, we'd like to see them listed out at some point. Maybe start like a Google Sheet or a Google Doc, and just start, whenever it comes in mind, whenever you're just hanging out, just put them in there.
Okay. I don't even know who the top 12 running backs in 2022 were.
I don't either. But God, you're right. I should do that. I'm just being lazy. There's no excuse. I have to Azer stat the running back stats. Okay. The other thing I was going to say is, of course, there's room for debate, but if I allowed for any debate, then I wouldn't be stirring the pot. So I have to stay true to this segment. We'll take a break. I got one more for you. Talk about the Chiefs when we come back on Fantasy Football Today. Then I will tell you about an awesome podcast that I went on last week. I just want to tell you the topic. You're going to love it. And it's publishing, I think, pretty soon, right after the Masters. And then we'll read your emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We'll be right back after a quick break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
All right, welcome back. And here's our last stirring the pot statement. I mean, think about the Chiefs offseason. Juju gone. Hardman gone. Nobody's replaced them. So, stirring the pot. No wide receiver has more potential to rise in ADP than insert your favorite Chiefs wide receiver here. Heath? Oh, you're muted.
You're muted, Heath.
I feel like both Tony and Moore are being drafted ahead of where I am comfortable taking them already. And so that might be true, but what can Kadarius Tony do over the next, like you said, in ADP? So we're talking about the next 5 months.
Yeah.
What can he do to prove that he can be a full-time football player? What can he do to prove that he knows enough of the offense to stay on the field or has hamstrings that will allow him to stay on the field? I don't know what could I guess we're just saying the Chiefs don't draft a wide receiver. I see no reason in the Chiefs' recent past to fear any wide receiver they draft. they've not done a great job of drafting wide receivers, and it's really, really hard, as Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney showed us last year, to get on the field and produce in your first year in Andy Reid's offense. So yeah. I I think that you're just like, however early you're willing to take that lottery ticket chance and maybe be cheering for a Travis Kelce injury, because it might be the only way any of these guys are starting fantasy wide receivers.
For me, yeah. I think Heath nailed it. The fact that, look, not only is that Andy Reid offense tough to pick up in year one, they've proven that coaching staff, they don't care. They're not going to play you in year one just to play you like a lot of coaches will do. Sky Moore did not play much last season, despite the fact that they had injuries at wide receiver and they didn't really get much production out of players like MVS, who I thought was one of the worst guys running that amount of routes in the NFL. So as far as which receiver can jump in ADP, Adam, for me, it's Sky Moore for sure. Like Heath said, there's no possible way that people are going to start thinking Kadarius Toney can stay on the field. So that won't really change much despite what you might see out of camp. But Sky Moore, wow, we could see some really good blurbs in training camp and different things that will get people excited about more, because people were really excited about him as a sleeper last year. So not much on that front. They can still, you know, add to that excitement. So I think Moore will be the guy whose ADP goes crazy this offseason. And like Heath said, I don't know if I'm going to be buying in.
I think I'd rather draft Sky Moore at his current cost than Toney.
At least I would definitely rather draft Sky Moore. I have no interest in Kadarius Toney. So,
yeah, well, I think you're being a little.
It's not even being heard. You outlined the entire case. Heath, he can't get on the field because he doesn't know the playbook, and now that's happened for two teams, right?
I had no expectation. Like, I was very skeptical when the trade happened. I had no expectation that he would learn the Chiefs playbook in half a season.
But did Odell Beckham pick up the Rams playbook? Odell Beckham picked it up like that with the Rams when he got traded there 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think
we're speculating about how much someone picked up the playbook, by the way. We don't know this.
By how many? No, it's not speculation. If he's not on the field for a full complement of snaps, if he's only in the field for a few snaps and they're all design touches like they were with the Giants,
doesn't mean that at all. And then you have to say the same thing about Sky Moore.
Why? Sky Moore didn't have design touches when he was on the field. He ran a more of a full route tree.
I don't know.
When Kadarius Toney was on the field,
to use him.
I did not like the speculation that Kadarius Toney did not know the Giants playbook after a full offseason. So I kind of agree with you there, Adam. I don't think Sky Moore or Kadarius Toney knew enough of the offense to play last year. So I agree with you there as well. I think they both had the same problem. I don't know that it's more likely. The only reason I said I like Moore at his cost was because I think he's significantly cheaper. I view them very similarly.
I can tell you without speculation that Kadarius Toney ran the wrong route in the second game of the Giants season, was benched for David Sills. So I don't really know why any coaching staff, we consider Brian Daboll a smart coach, do we not, Heath? So he's putting David Sills on the field.
He's a good offensive
running the wrong route. I'm
reserving judgment on
head coach. And yet he's putting David Sills, who's not an NFL caliber talent, on the field.
I think
for
that was
97%
a poor choice
of the snap.
Well, I think it was a statement
to
make.
Maybe it's the guy runs the wrong route, gets an offensive pass interference on the first level.
Look, I got to just say, when you say that someone doesn't know the playbook, I think it's a fairly serious allegation to throw at someone. It implies a lot. And maybe you were not trying to, but it does. I'm not going to say that anyone doesn't know the playbook unless I know that they don't know the playbook. And I think you will get a better version of Kadarius Toney. As I said this, like, you go to a team like the Giants, which had been one of the worst, you know, the Giants and the Jets were the worst teams in football for the last 5 years before this year. You know, they got a new coach. I could understand a player being hesitant to buy in. You go to the Chiefs, you're buying in, right? You're going to buy in or you're going to be out. So I think Toney could rise a lot in drafts. And I will say, in terms of the injuries, it's just a philosophy thing. I don't know where I'm going to come out on that. I mean, he gets a lot of soft tissue injuries, and it's concerning. But what did Christian McCaffrey, Miles Sanders, and Dalvin Cook have in common? They played 17 games last year. Would anybody have ever expected that from McCaffrey, Miles Sanders, and Dalvin Cook? So you just never know. All right, guys, let me get to the email. Go ahead, Heath.
Can I do my breaking news, but maybe not news thing I used to do because of tweets.
We used to have music, Heath. We used to have breaking. Yeah. People used to call it breaking porn news. Breaking news. Yeah. What do we got?
John Lynch says Brock Purdy, Trey Lance, and Sam Darnold will all compete for the 49ers starting QB job, but Purdy, when healthy, is the leader in the clubhouse.
Ooh, sexy. All right, let's save that for tomorrow, boys and girls. Oh, it's not over. Okay, anyway, it sounded like it was over. Ready for emails? Okay, but Dan, you have got to listen to the podcast I went on last week. It's going to air after the Masters.
Okay.
Pat Mayo hosted it. Sia Nejad is the mastermind, I think. He did the bracket, and he had me on to talk about one of the regions. It's a 64-team tournament of TV shows.
Oh, it's great.
Oh, it was so much fun, and Sia made the entire bracket. I broke down a region that had...
Shield?
No, it was all sitcoms. Sorry, sitcoms.
Okay.
With animated in there as well. The region I had Modern Family as the one seed.
So good.
Fresh Prince as the two. Simpsons as the three. And I don't remember what the four was. I remember what the five
was.
So you
were heavy Simpsons. So you had Simpsons coming out of that region.
So sure. I'm not going to spoil it because I had a lot of different criteria. The criteria I used were, one, how much do I like the show? That's an obvious one. Two, cultural impact and influence. Number three was, would both me and my parents like the show? Because I didn't want to sit there and just do my favorites. I wanted to give credit to the shows that had mass appeal. That was a big deal for me.
So,
you have a question about that, Heath?
Yeah. Yes. I have a question of measuring mass appeal by going outside
by you and
yourself to the people who raised you.
No, but they're so different than me. I mean our generations.
How popular is this show inside the smallest bubble I can make around myself?
No. Because what I did was, comparing The Simpsons, which I like better than Modern Family, but my parents would never watch that. And most people my parents' age wouldn't watch The Simpsons, whereas Modern Family... we could all sit down, watch it, and crack up. And I think you got to score some points in Modern Family's favor for that. Was that enough for Modern Family to win the region? I don't know. Well, you'll have to find out. I'll give you all info on that. It was a lot of fun. When it comes out, it was a really fun debate. And I think anyone who watches TV would really enjoy it. So
I'm excited for it.
All right, let me read some emails. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. And I only picked emails that I thought both me and my parents would want to hear about on today's show. So this is from, oh God. I hate when I don't put the name of the emailer in there. And when I do it for the first emailer, that's even worse. So I don't know the name here.
It seems like such an easy problem to fix.
Well, they don't put it in the email. So then I have to put it in myself. It's from Travis. Okay. Hey, Ray, Egon, Winston, and Peter. You know that one, Dan?
Ray, what's the second one?
Egon, Winston, and Peter. Are you kidding me?
I think I do.
Yeah, Ray, of course you do.
Egon. New Girl.
What?
No, it's not. But I like that because the Winston call. And that New Girl is what I was thinking, too. That was literally all I
Schaefer,
thought.
Please, put these idiots in their place. This is insane.
Well, I might be an idiot, but is it Ghostbusters?
Of course it's Ghostbusters.
Okay, I've never seen Ghostbusters. Of course I've never seen that movie. Adam, I haven't seen any movies. I've never seen
Heath,
that movie.
Egon? You couldn't get Egon? Like, what is this? All right.
You know what I saw,
I didn't love Ghostbusters.
Like the original?
Yeah.
Ghostbusters 2 is better.
Never seen it. No interest.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. Not the standout for me.
Ghostbusters is great. Rick Moranis is so funny in that. 12-team half PPR Dynasty League. I just traded AJ Brown, Cortland Sutton, and pick 211. AJ Brown, Cortland Sutton, and 211 for Jerry Jeudy, Javonte Williams, and 2.2.
I don't like that at all.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it's a big difference. I mean, you gave up by far the best player in the deal, and I don't think you got back enough to make up for it. So I'm going to give you a D+.
Especially if you're starting to see complications already from the Javonte Williams injury. It's not just a clean ACL, which, some athletes have. Some have the MCL damage with it, PCL. That scares me a lot with him as your big asset coming back, because I think he is the best asset that's returned in the trade. I think he's a better asset probably than Jerry Jeudy. But yeah, you're giving up AJ Brown in that too. You're not getting much more draft capital, 2-2 versus 211. So yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah, I think it's probably not going to be a good trade. However, I'm not going to do it now. Show's gone long. But at some point, I mean, if you want some numbers about Jerry Jeudy, to make you buy into a breakout, I can make a really good Jerry Jeudy breakout case to the point where he might be just as good as AJ Brown if everything goes right. But that'll be a topic for another show. From Trevor, from the oldest city in the U.S.
Virginia? Somewhere in Virginia? Oh, that's a
St. Augustine.
Yes.
No. What?
1565.
St. Augustine.
You were
really
thinking
the
about
city.
You were thinking about Jamestown. This is 2 years older than Jamestown. Wow.
Interesting.
St. Augustine, Florida.
Just drove past the sign that proclaims it like 18 hours ago.
That's cool. Good morning, cool. Barry, Dion, Miles, and Emmanuel.
All Sanders.
Mm-hmm. This will be our first season that our 12-team PPR league will be doing keepers, and we agreed before the draft rules for keepers. Keep a player at the round you drafted them or the round whomever traded them to you drafted them, and or keep the player you pick up off the waiver wire for your last round pick. All right, so those are the is this a Fantasy Cops? Okay. Well, week 16 rolls around, and I have been eliminated from the playoffs, but I looked on the waiver wire, and I picked up Ridley, Breece Hall, Kyle Pitts, and Javonte Williams. Is it fair for me to use any of these as my keepers for next year as my last round pick? Some in the league are upset, but we agreed at the beginning of the season on the rules, and they were pinned to the message board. It's a big money buy-in, so does that matter? Yeah, Fantasy Cops.
Do you want to go first, Dan, or would you like me to?
You can go, Heath.
Okay. First off, you did a bad job not clarifying whether players picked up during the playoffs count for keeper purposes. And now you have to make that decision after one person has already gained an advantage, which is the worst time to be making a decision. So when you change to a keeper league, you must determine it. But what I will say is if you're allowing people in the playoffs to pick up players and keep them, then you must allow people not in the playoffs to pick up players and then keep them. My solution for my keeper league is players picked up in the playoffs cannot be kept. So that way there's no benefit to someone still in the playoffs and you don't have guys not in the playoffs picking up players. So I think the best rule is after the regular season ends, nobody can pick up a player that they're going to keep. But if you did not have that rule in place and teams in the playoffs were allowed to pick players up and potentially keep them, then you should get to keep these players.
Well, you can only keep one, I think.
The only keep one helps a lot in this situation, but I'm going to come out and say, look, we all make mistakes in our lives. I'm a shining example of that in plenty of things that I
do.
But
this is just a
really poorly constructed keeper league. We're talking about a big buy-in as referenced in the email, and yet there's really wishy-washy, horrible keeper rules here. So for my league, we had a lot of issues with this.
We made it week 12.
Why?
Because you guys are too mean to these people.
But I mean, you're talking about a big buy-in.
This is their first year. This is their first year doing keepers. I mean, they ran into a problem that they did not foresee.
But you can do some research online to find good keeper rules. Like, it's not impossible to find. Even if you don't have anything to work off of, you can find good keeper rules. Like, you don't need to be letting people scoop off Breece Halls on the waiver wire in week 16 to ruin the next season. Like, we have a week 12 rule in our league because we had a similar issue earlier in my big keeper league at home. And I think week 12 is actually a really good cutoff for keepers.
Can I ask you a question?
The waiver wire. Yep.
When you say you had an issue and you have a week 12 rule, did you have the issue first and then you instituted the week 12 rule?
We did have the issue
first. This is what happens. You know, I get it. It's not easy to foresee every scenario. Not everyone covers fantasy football for a living. So what I don't think personally that you should be able to keep these guys for a last round pick. I think you should come up with some type of compromise. Can we make it an eighth round pick or something like that? Because, you know, you didn't do anything wrong, but it does really tilt the scales in your favor if you can keep Breece Hall for a last round pick. And obviously, with all those guys on the waiver wire, people didn't realize that they could do that. So I think you should try to come up with some type of compromise.
No.
You know, which is a made-up thing.
Osprey Tacos is right next to Old Coast Ales. I could just sit on that patio and go back from the tacos to the ales to the tacos to the ales. Love
for your Saturday. Another thing we can throw out there is, which our league implemented, as this is important, I think it can help. You shouldn't allow people to pick up IR players as keepers. That's something we implemented. It's not, because people are going to have to drop these players to improve their roster for that year. And so Breece Hall, a player who has no chance to return for that season, shouldn't be allowed to be picked up as a keeper.
Okay, but what's done is done. So Nick in Baltimore wants to know, after the Bears made the trade, getting DJ Moore, should the Bears take Bijan Robinson at 9?
Whoa, this is going a bit beyond a fantasy football podcast. If you're asking about running back value in drafts, I don't think the Bears should take Bijan Robinson at pick 9. I think it would be one of the easiest ways to make it, or even harder for Justin Fields to realize his potential, personally.
No, I don't think they should. I am open to the possibility that a contender should spend a first round pick on Bijan Robinson, because I think he's really, really good, and really, really good running backs could be the difference in that final thing that you need. So I'm not quite as anti Bijan in the first round as a lot of people, but a team like the Bears should not be doing it.
All right, one more question here from Luke, from a Texas town with lots of Bears.
Baylor.
Boom.
Nice.
No, well, that's not right. That can't be right.
Oh, it's a good guess, right, though. Yeah. What scenario could result in Jahmyr Gibbs being taken above Bijan Robinson in redraft?
That's a good question. Ugh. Where can Bijan go where he's not going to be the number one?
Oh, not be the number one? Dallas?
I don't even want to think about this because it gives me such terrible flashbacks to Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Jonathan Taylor. Like, we did this almost exact thing, and I do not want to do it again, but I could. It's not hard to come up with multiple scenarios. The Cowboys draft Bijan to play with Pollard.
Right.
And Gibbs goes around earlier to the Chiefs.
Right.
Around later.
No.
Earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, Gibbs before Bijan in the draft?
Nobody thought freaking Clyde Edwards-Helaire was going before Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, but that's true. But I think Bijan was a little bit different level prospect than Taylor, and Taylor was a good prospect.
Why did the Chiefs?
Well, I think Gibbs is a better prospect than Clyde, isn't he?
Gibbs Clyde is definitely a better prospect than Clyde.
I think I had Clyde as RB6 in that class before.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with Clyde. The Chiefs kind of overrated him.
Mahomes was watching his tape and texted them and said, you guys should get this guy.
Yeah. And then they never threw to him. So it didn't make any sense.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Good show today. I gotta give a lot of credit to Dan Schneier. We started at 11 o'clock. I texted him at 10:50. I called him at 10:55, and I was like, I forgot about you. Would you like to come on the show today? And he's like, okay, I won't do my hair. No problem. And he came
on
the
show. I won't do my hair. Yeah, it's already looking better than yours with no.
You didn't do your hair. It's the worst hair that you've ever had, so I hope it doesn't look better than mine. But we'll talk to y'all on Wednesday with another edition of Fantasy Football Team.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.